How would you like to be known as a troubler? Achan, the son of Carmi, has gone down in the annals of history as the troubler of Israel. In 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 7, we read, "And the sons of Carmi, Achan, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the thing accursed." How did this man get this reputation of being the troubler of Israel? It takes us back to the book of Joshua as the Lord's people crossed the river Jordan to take possession of the land that was promised to the great patriarch Abraham, the land of Canaan, a land that was described as one that floweth with milk and honey. In the taking of the city of Jericho, as recorded in Joshua chapter 6 and in verse 18, the Lord said, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." In chapter 7 we read where the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, "Go up and view the country." And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord under the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off your name from the earth, and what wilt thou do to thy great name?" And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Thus Achan became known as the Troubler of Israel. Stories like these are recorded for our benefit today. Paul said in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. In the remainder of our time together this afternoon, I'd like for us to call attention to some lessons that we can learn today from the Troubler of Israel. One thing I learned from the Troubler of Israel is that there are some things I need to keep myself from. God has always had things for His people to keep themselves from. That's true with reference to the first people, Adam and Eve. Remember, God said of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Thou shalt not eat of it. And so in the garden there was a tree man was to keep himself from. In the taking of the city of Jericho, the Lord said in Joshua 6 and verse 18, Ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. You know it's still true today that there are some things that we're to keep ourselves from? We might make a list of some of those. We're to keep ourselves from the path of the wicked. The wise man said, as recorded in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. We are also to keep ourselves from false teachers. Writing the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, Paul penned, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. We're to keep ourselves from sexual immorality, as 1 Corinthians 6:18 reads, Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. We're to keep ourselves from idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10:14 states, Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. We're to keep ourselves from every appearance of evil. As Paul said, abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 22. We're to keep ourselves from pointless discussions. Writing the evangelist Timothy, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 16, But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We're to keep ourselves from fleshly lust. As Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, we're to keep ourselves from evil. As the apostle said, Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And so I'm impressed from the Troubler of Israel that there are some things that I need to keep myself from. But also I learned from the Troubler of Israel that God means what He says. When God said in Joshua 6 and verse 18, Keep yourselves from the accursed thing, Did he really mean that? We might just ask Achan if we don't think that God meant that. Because Joshua 7 and verse 1 says, Achan took of the accursed thing. He did what God said not to do. And what was the result of that? God said in the book of Joshua 7 and verse 15, he shall be burnt. You mean to tell me that God would cause a man to be burnt because he just did something that God said not to do? He did, didn't he? And in verse 25 of Joshua 7, all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Man may not take the Lord's word seriously, but the Lord certainly does, doesn't he? God means what he says. And when God says, keep yourself from something, I better keep myself from it. The New Testament records that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Hebrews 2 and in verse 2. Now today, this may seem like something that was unjust. For God to cause a man to be burnt, can you imagine that? That just doesn't seem right, someone might say. That doesn't seem fair. But the Bible says that transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, Achan got what he deserved. And I need to be impressed with the fact that God means what he says and says what he means. Another lesson from the troubler of Israel is the fact that your sin will find you out. Borrowing the language of Moses to the children of Gad and the children of Reuben in Numbers chapter 32 and in verse 23. When they had come to Moses with the request that the land east of the Jordan be given to them as a possession, as they saw that it was a land that was good for cattle and they had much cattle, Moses said in Numbers 32 and in verse 6, shall your brethren go to war and shall ye sit here? And the agreement was that if they would go over Jordan and help their brethren take possession of their land, then they could go back to the east side and possess that land that they requested. And in Numbers 32 and in verse 23, Moses said, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. Now listen. And be sure your sin will find you out. You might like to underscore, highlight that in your Bible. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's certainly the case in this story with Achan, isn't it? His sin found him out. You remember in Joshua chapter 7 that Achan took of the accursed thing and he attempted to hide that, didn't he? In fact, in verse 20, when man by man was brought before Joshua, Achan answered, I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. This was unknown to many, but the Lord was aware of it. The Lord knew it. And his sin found him out. Sin found David out in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. And sin found Achan out in Joshua chapter 7. And sin will find us out. If not in this life, certainly it will be found out at the judgment. As Paul wrote about in the book of Romans chapter 2 and in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And so we learned that there are some things that we need to keep ourselves from, that God means what he says, and your sin will find you out. Probably there's another lesson that can be learned from the troubler of Israel, and that is that sin may bring consequences to others. There are consequences that come to the sinner. But sometimes there are consequences that come to others as well. You remember in the book of Joshua, perhaps in chapter 22, as we read of the return of the 2.5 tribes, that in verse 20 the question is asked, did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing? And wrath fell on, who'd wrath fall on? All the congregation of Israel. And that man perished not alone in his iniquity. Here's one man that took of the accursed things, and his actions not only affected himself, but caused wrath to fall on the entire congregation, and he perished not alone. That is, there were others who died and perished as a result of this man's wrongdoing. You remember back in Joshua 7, and in verse 15 it is recorded, it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath. And then in verse 24, Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, his sheep, his tent, all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor, and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Prior to that, you remember that there was a battle between the children of Israel and the men of Ai. In fact, the spies told Joshua, let not all the people go up. Verse 3. But let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. On any other day, that would have been sufficient, but not on this day because there was sin in the camp. And in verse 5, the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate and smote them in the going down. Here are 36 men of Israel who lose their lives. Why? Because of the transgression of Achan. And so I need to realize that sin may bring consequences to others. Then again, as I think about lessons from the troubler of Israel, I learned another lesson. I learned that there is a need to put away sin from the camp. The Lord's people could not go forward and be successful when there was sin in the camp. In Joshua 7 and in verse 11, you remember Joshua was perplexed. He was upon his face and he had cried out to the Lord about it. And the Lord said to him, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. They have taken of the accursed thing and have stolen and dissembled also and put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were cursed. The Lord said, neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. And in verse 13, the Lord's people are charged to take away the accursed thing from among you. And according to verse 26, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his anger until the accursed was taken away. Now, how can we make application of that today? The language that we find in Joshua chapter 7 and in verse 13, take away the accursed thing from among you, is very similar to what we find revealed by Paul to the church of God at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You remember that Paul wrote to a church that was harboring sin. He said, beginning in verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Here's a case of open sin in the church at Corinth. And they had the wrong attitude about it. They were puffed up, and if not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be, now listen, taken away from among you. Does that sound familiar? What was to be done with the accursed thing? in Joshua 7 and verse 13, take away the accursed thing from among you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said to deliver such an one unto Satan. He said in verse 9, not to company with fornicators, and he shows the extent to which no company is to be had. When he says in the latter part of verse 11, with such an one know not to eat. And then in verse 13, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Just as Israel had to take away the accursed thing from among them in order for the Lord to be with them, like it or not, there comes a time when sin enters the Lord's people that must be dealt with. There comes a time when we must put away from among ourselves that wicked person. And so I learned from the troubler of Israel the need to put away sin from the camp. And then finally, I learned from the troubler of Israel that I need to beware of covetousness. The Lord told a little story about that in Luke chapter 12. He said in verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's a lesson that Achan needed to learn, isn't it? And that's a lesson that you and I need to learn today. You know what Achan's sin was? It was the sin of covetousness. For in Joshua chapter 7 and in verse 21, Achan said, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I, what did you do, Achan? Coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. I need to be careful what I see. He saw a garment, and he coveted it. You know, the Bible talks about the lust of the eyes. 1 John 2 and in verse 16. The 10th commandment, as recorded in Exodus 20 and in verse 17, thou shalt not covet. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, Paul said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, covetousness is equated with idolatry. When Paul penned, mortify, that is, put to death your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is, what is covetousness, Paul? Idolatry. And you know the remedy for covetousness? One of the things that you and I can do to prevent being covetous, that is to be content. In the book of Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. We would do well to remember the words of Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, when he said, beginning in verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they averred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That's 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 11. Achan, because he took of the accursed thing, became known as the troubler of Israel. And from his untimely death, we learn that there are some things that we need to keep ourselves from. That God means exactly what he says. That as Achan's sin was found out, our sin will be found out. That sin may bring consequences to others. The need for us to put away sin from the camp. and the ever-present need to beware of covetousness. It's sad that this man lost his life like he did. But if you and I learn these lessons and keep ourselves from the things that God says, keep yourself from, and have respect for what God says, that we know that God says what He means and He means what He says, and we beware of covetousness and we avoid that, then this man's death will not be in vain for us, will it? He will have helped us. And so, may we learn these lessons, which were written aforetime, for our learning, Romans 15, and in verse 4. There may be one or more in this audience this afternoon who stands in need of rendering obedience to the gospel, and all things are ready, that you might be baptized into Christ this very day, and thereby receive the remission of your sins, and enjoy all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. Would you come, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, believing the gospel, repenting of your sins to confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. We'll be happy to baptize you this afternoon. Maybe you've already done that. You become a child of God, but you realize that there's sin in your life, and you want to put that away. You realize from this story the seriousness of sin, and you want to make that right with God by repenting of that and asking for His forgiveness. We'll be happy to pray with you this afternoon and pray for you that the thought of your heart might be forgiven. If you'd make your desire known by coming to the front, as together we stand and sing, won't you come?